The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to UAB's Director's Chair. I love this show. Mark Ingram, of course, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, comes on every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio. And we talk about things. We pull the curtain back. We get coaches on. We'll get Alex Mortensen on when we get closer to the season, and Andy Kennedy on as we get a little thicker into the college basketball season, stuff like that. But there has been so much crazy wild stuff going on in college sports from a business standpoint that it's great to have you on to kind of explain what's going on. The portal opened up on January 2nd, and last count I saw this morning, 3,375 FBS kids, roughly 26% of all college football kids, are jumping ship. That's crazy. I figured there are going to be some that are going to move. I never thought that it would be one in four kids, because making that decision to go to a college was so much more than just playing football. It was what you're going to spend the next 4 years of your life. You were moving away from mom and dad. Sometimes you're moving across the country. Sometimes you're running from country to country. Now all of a sudden you got these kids not only willing to transfer immediately, but sometimes more than once. First of all, did you see it being this big?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's been big.
Why can't, because it's a huge commitment for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the hardship thing where a kid has a hard time and you know, you used to have to have coaches. You couldn't transfer within the same conference and everything else. Why do you think these kids, and we actually talked about this on Fox 6 this morning, and I mentioned you, by the way, I hope you don't mind, I mentioned the UAB Blazers, because I know you've had a couple of transfers, particularly with your basketball program. Axel Lindendorf went up to Michigan. He's shooting lights out up there as a five-star kid that played for Birmingham last year. It was unbelievable. Why are so many kids making the wrong decision in the first place? I guess my question is, how in the hell are one in four kids not making the right decision in the first place? Or are they just getting there and they're being promised things and they're not getting what they think they're going to get?
Yeah, I don't think that they're making the wrong decision in the first place. I think what the problem is the NCAA was just dealing with an onslaught of lawsuits and finally had to acquiesce to this concept of you can transfer as many times as you want and play immediately. And it's because any student can transfer theoretically every semester if they wish. And so why can't the athletes do that? Well, sports are different. And I think sports, one, you got all these coaches whose jobs are held. They're winning. They're held accountable for winning and losing. They find and develop these kids and have a plan, and then they're not allowed to execute their plan. And so I do think there should be, in my opinion, some fairness to them in the process, or at least considered, and they're not. But the problem is, Tony, is that when one kid reads when every kid reads that one kid got paid some crazy amount of money to go there, then everybody thinks they're going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And so there are these, what we call street agents, and we call them that because there's no clearinghouse yet for this. If you were an athlete going pro, there is. You have to be registered in your state. You have to be licensed as an agent. Your fees are controlled. There's none of that with these.
What is the organization that right now has to approve these NIL deals? Is that not the clearinghouse?
And we're talking two different things.
Okay.
They have to approve actual
NIL
for
stuff.
Your name. Gotcha. Yeah, legitimate NIL.
And this deal is just paying.
That's
to play.
Not what we're talking about.
Gotcha.
We're talking about. So you play wide receiver at UAB, and you get a call one day, a DM in one of your social media accounts from a guy that says, "Hey man, I can get you $500,000 at a Power Four school who's looking for a starting wide receiver out of the group of six."
Mm-hmm.
You get in the portal, I can get you this. Well, the true part about what they're saying is that they might say there's 10 Power Four schools looking for a guy like you. And that might be actually true. They've connected with the recruiting person at all these places. Tell me what your needs are. So that part is probably right. The problem is there's 10 spots and they tell 50 guys. and there's 50 guys that get in, right? And then the money's never what they're promised. You're lured in because you're 19 years old, and who wouldn't be excited about making $500,000 to play football for 1 year somewhere? That sounds exciting. And so they get in it. Well, the problem is that same story has been told to dozens and dozens of guys, and they can't all get that deal. And then, like I said, the deal's never as good. The other thing that happens too, Tony, is you might be a really good player at UAB, but then you go visit whatever Ohio State and they go, you're not as tall as I thought you were. Because in this league, the corners are this big. And if you're not at least this big, you're going to have a hard time. I don't know that you can play here.
Who dictated when the transfer portal opens and closes? And the reason I bring that up is you got a guy, Jaden Lamar, who obviously is playing in the playoffs before he was of the Oregon Ducks, and just decided to transfer 2 days before their semifinal game.
Yeah, it's awful.
It really is. Awful. And this kid's been banged up all season long. He finally comes back as a WR. Well, that's horrible. I don't understand that.
It's the football oversight committee, which is a group of administrators and coaches who, when they made the decision, I think people naively believe that these players, if you were in the playoff, surely nobody would leave their team in the middle of the playoff. Oh yeah. Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They surely will. Because, Andy Kennedy said this, in a press conference, and I'll say it the way he said it, which is this won't be popular for some people to hear, but what we've developed is that all of these schools, ours and Oregon's, it's just one more stop on the trail. It's just, there's no loyalty that used to have loyalty, and trying to develop loyalty to a program, which is what made you really want to play hard and fight for your teammates and for your school. Cause you became loyal to your school. They're not here long enough to become loyal to the school. And when I say here, I mean everywhere. They're not there, here, there, wherever, long enough to develop that loyalty to their teammates and to their coaches and to have pride in their school. They're not around long enough. And the mistake here is the calendar. And so I actually called, there's a committee, there's a kind of a subcommittee of the Football Oversight Committee that is looking specifically at the calendar. And I called the head of that committee before the holidays. And I said, here's the problem. We got to eliminate the December signing period.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay, why? And I said, well, because it forces schools, we are one, to feel like you better make a change in the middle of the season so that you can have your coach ready and in place before signing day.
Yeah.
And so that's problem number one. Problem number two is along the same lines, when you're transitioning a staff, the number of people the coach has to interview that are on the existing staff that they might like to keep and then bring their old staff to fill all the spots they want to fill. And then you got to interview, meet with, and recruit the old team. Because I don't care how bad the team is, there are good players on every team.
Sure.
And so you'd like to say, which ones would I like to keep? Which ones do I hope to keep? And try to recruit them. And then immediately, of course, turn your attention to recruiting new players. And there's only a few weeks to do it. Oh, yeah. And then there's the holidays.
Yeah.
So it's just really hard. So you got to eliminate the December signing period. Go back to the February being the only one. I think having one portal window is smart. It ought to be in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches didn't like the spring because they thought, gosh, I can't go through spring practice and then lose guys in the spring. And now I don't even know who's on my team. And we play games in a couple of months.
Better to do it then. It's like finding out she's cheating on you before you marry her. Right. I mean,
but the thought was we've gone through spring practice and now this person I lost, this happened to UAB. Our best wide receiver 2 years ago showed up in January and left in April. He never played for us.
Yeah.
And so that's a problem. Well, here's how you fix it. The spring portal window is the only one. You don't have spring practice anymore. What you do in the spring is you go to school and you lift and you train. And if the kids want to go out on the field and the quarterbacks and receivers get together and throw and do some things, they can do that. Yeah. You do the equivalent to an OTA in NFL, which is official team activities, OTA. You do those in the summer. These kids are all here in the summer now. They're all the football players are here in the summer. They're here June and July. So why not do that in June and July? Have 15 practices in June and July, getting ready for the start of the season. And now all of a sudden, because the other problem, Tony, right now, is that I have a son at Auburn. They started class yesterday. UAB doesn't start class until the 14th. Mm-hmm. And then I have a buddy whose son is at Ole Miss, and I don't think they go to school until it's either the day after MLK or might be the week after that. Mm-hmm. The point is, because we all start school at a different time, this portal window, which is January 2nd to 16th, is a great advantage or disadvantage to you as a coach based on when school starts. And school starts, that academic calendar, they're not taking into account the athletic stuff. And quite frankly, they shouldn't. The provost is doing this based on academic needs of the institution. They start whenever they think they need to start and finish based on what. It's all academic related.
UAB director's chair. He's the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. UABsports.com. Go to their website for tickets and everything else. Couple of interesting stories. Six Ohio State players. This is happening everywhere, by the way. Six Ohio State players left right after they lost to Miami in the playoffs, which, okay. We mentioned Jaden Lamar and the fact that he's leaving Oregon. Kudos to Kawan Lacy, who is staying at Ole Miss. He, of course, is being poached by LSU, where his old head coach is going. He's staying at Ole Miss, which I think is a great story, and I love that. And then several other stories, along with the 3,400 players. This mandatory $20.5 million revenue sharing cap.
It's a cap, yeah.
Yeah. What, is there anybody keeping check on that? Is it because it sure seems like there's a lot more than that being spent for some schools. Does anyone have an idea? And if you go over that, what happens? What's that deal about?
It's a good question, Tony, that I don't have an answer for you. I don't know that because it's the first year of it, I don't know what has been put in place to say, hey, at the end of the year, you're going to have to report this number. Surely we are, but formally, we've not been informed of that. And when you hear about people spending more, what it means is they're spending the 20 and a half that they're allowed to spend through revenue sharing. And then they're finding a way through their old collectives to pay more money through their collective. They're still doing that.
You mentioned the fact that maybe six, seven, eight teams maybe were in the black at the end of the year. Yeah, they bring in a lot of revenue, but by the time you do the bottom line, there's only about six or seven programs, maybe
schools,
a few more schools that are actually making money. The real money is in basketball. But are you surprised by the amount of money that's being shown through everything?
Yeah,
I thought your quarterback would make $200,000-$400,000. I mean, we got players making millions of dollars. I get it. Where Diego Pavi wants to come back for another season because he's going to make $3 million. He's going to make more money another year in college than he would in pros. But when you see this type of money, does it make you as an athletic director go, wait a minute? I mean, we're sitting there scratching for everything we can get, and all of a sudden, I'm finding out there's a lot more money out there than I thought there was. Does that give you an opportunity to go try to poach some of that for yourself and build your own program? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think that, yeah, the money is astounding. I heard that the quarterback from Cincinnati is going to Texas Tech for like $4 or $5 million.
Yeah. Sourcebe. Yeah. He wasn't that good.
Listen, no offense to that kid. He ain't worth it.
He ain't that good. No.
I think he is good, but what I'm saying is they won't get that return.
Yeah.
You think, oh, think of what they'll get. They're not going to get anything. And then, of course, if he gets hurt, then they literally get nothing.
Yeah. Tom in Southside, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, wants to ask you, why does Charlie Weiss and Kevin Smith get to continue to coach at Ole Miss when Lane Kiffin doesn't? In case people don't know, those guys are assistant coaches. They're being invited to continue to coach throughout the playoffs. Obviously, they are leaving to go to LSU.
Yeah.
As an athletic director, could you please tell me the disparity there and why that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, these are individual conversations that the AD is having with each coach about what to do and how to do it. And strategically, if the athletic director felt like the head coach, hey, man, if you're here, but you're supposed to be somewhere else, you're not really giving us your full attention. And I'm sure that he initially had a great fear of losing a lot of his team to transferring straight to LSU, which means the head coach is in the building recruiting them to leave. And you go, okay, so then why can the assistants stay but not the head coach? Because you are also trying to win a football game and you got to have some number of staff. And so it's just a matter of these one-on-one conversations and everybody's comfort level on staying and going. And, you know, those guys could leave if they wanted to leave. They've got a job. If they're going to LSU, they can go. That frankly, they don't have any obligation to stay. So yeah. I would say that there's a credit to them for wanting to stick it out, and credit to Ole Miss for allowing them to do it, knowing that it is impossible to say that their head is 100% focused on Ole Miss.
It's the least you could do for those kids, too. I mean, we got to remember the kids.
Right.
Those kids are playing for national championship. You don't want to be taking every single coach they got away, because most of these players are closer to their assistant coach than they will ever be with the head coach anyway. So yeah. From that standpoint, yeah, that's interesting. All right.
That's the other thing I said on the calendar conversation when I called this guy, which is it's Josh Brooks, the AD of Georgia. I called him and when we were talking through the calendar, I said, the other problem we have is we're so focused on recruits. We're losing focus on the kids we have. Mm-hmm. We have this team of kids that we completely dismiss and disregard. And if the calendar doesn't get adjusted, all we're doing is if the season isn't going right, we have to make a change in the middle of the year. And I can assure you that never did it cross my mind that I didn't care about our kids or our team or how we finished. But you are saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not intending to say that, there is a message that might be received that way. And it's not at all what it is. But the players, once they get to college, I know that Diego Pavia and others are looking for additional years. But the standard is you get 5 years to play four.
Yeah.
You get 5 years to play four. And that clock is ticking every single day. And so when you make those changes in the middle of the year, you're kind of halfway scrapping the rest of the year. And from a fan, they're like, ah, yeah, go ahead. We stink, man. Well, those kids signed up for an experience. And what kind of experience are they getting? I think we need to respect that, too.
And we talked about that on television this morning, you know, about obviously my dad threw newspapers for 40 years. Took a shower every night before he went to work, went like this for 40 years, out windows, and he did it, provided well for our family, and I loved him for it, always had a great attitude, was always in a good mood, said his prayers, did his whole nine yards, being a newspaper distributor, I always thought that was super cool. He's like, be grateful that you have a job that provides for your family. When you're talking about an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, something like that, deciding to transfer, that's one thing, but when you're a quarterback, a lot of kids look to want to see who the quarterback is. And whether that's Diego, whether that's Arch Manning, whether it's Shambliss trying to come back, whatever. And a lot of players want it because they know the quarterback is a very interesting and very important part of a football team because he touches the football half the time. And so when that guy up and leaves, I can imagine where some kids were like, man, I was planning on being your wide receiver. I mean, it'd be like, could you imagine if Joe Burrow left LSU after his first year? They wouldn't have won a national title. I mean, and you wouldn't have Ja'Marr Chase. You wouldn't have had all the players that were actually catching footballs on the other end. So I think it's really interesting. All right, Betty in the Southside, winner, chicken dinner. I want you to pick the winners of the games. We got a game tonight, Miami, Ole Miss, and then Oregon, Indiana going on tomorrow. Give me the winners for the next two games. And who's playing in the national championship game on the 19th?
I think it's thrilling that Miami and Ole Miss are playing tonight. I don't think anyone thought that that's what the game was going to be. And then tomorrow is Indiana, Oregon. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think of what's going to land in the championship. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Any combination of this, I think is good for the game is what I'm getting at. I don't think it's good for the game to have the same old people in the game, in the championship every single year. So I know that the individual fan bases at some of those places would certainly disagree with that, but
all right, you're beating around the bush, man. Miami's going up 3 against Ole Miss. Who do you like tonight?
Man, I'm gonna tell you. First of all, I wouldn't sleep. I think Oregon's really good, but Everybody keeps sleeping on Indiana like they're not that good, and they clearly are. So I'm gonna pick them tomorrow night, and then
I mean, either way, so it's going to be great because Miami and Ole Miss, they just both have great stories. You know, Miami's a 10
they both
seed.
have
Ole
great
Miss, yeah.
stories. So I remember watching the Miami game the other day, and they had a defensive lineman that is a projected first rounder who appeared to come out of the game late with an injury. Man, maybe I'll pick Ole Miss. Why not?
All right, Ole Miss and Indiana, there you have it. Quickly, what's going on with your basketball program?
Oh my gosh, they're fun to watch, and we just got to continue to be consistent. I mean, there's some nights that the tenacity that we showed to come back and beat South Florida, I was so impressed by. And then last night, Florida Atlantic came out, they were just really hot shooting. So we're down like 13 or 14 points in the first half, and but we cut the lead to 7 at the half. We go back down, I think 12, but come back to take the lead. That's hard to do, okay? And then we just had this, once we did, we had this series of errors. God bless Jacob Meyer, who was in foul trouble all night.
That kid is 90 to nothing. He just goes from one end of the floor to the other and will not stop.
Andy calls him our most assertive scorer.
He is. I mean, he goes down and
And he
if he's
didn't play
got the
basketball
ball,
last night. I mean, he was 0 for 5 shooting, but Tony, I bet he didn't. I didn't look. I should have looked. I bet he didn't play 5 minutes of basketball. The
That's
guy
weird.
was in foul trouble immediately. He got came in, and if we could go back and watch them, I'm not certain that he even made physical contact.
But how many fouls did he finish with?
4 or 5. I mean,
I mean, he didn't foul out.
he didn't foul out, but he basically didn't play. So he'd come in the game for a minute, he'd miss a shot, he'd get a
Can I
foul,
say that? Can I say this, man? I think it's a travesty when you pull a player because of foul trouble and they don't foul out. If you're going to pull a player, you better damn make sure he's going to foul out. If you're pulling a guy with 4 fouls and 10 minutes left in the game, he's one of your better players, let him go for it. I mean, he knows the situation. Otherwise, you're going to be holding on to him, and then you're expecting him to go out there with fresh
But you
legs.
also have to consider the potential for overtime, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But
Yeah.
anyway, we just Jacob couldn't play. They had some guys, they had three guards get really hot. They're physically a lot bigger than us, though I don't think that really hurt us. I think we managed that well. But we turned it over a couple of times late, and we again, not having Jacob really hurt, I think, late. And so they made a bit of a burst. After we took the lead, they had a little bit of a burst, and we just couldn't recover.
All right, I got the top 10 just came out. Top 25, top 10 classic rock songs
Okay.
with the most plays in 2025 from
All
classic
right.
rock stations. I want you to take a stab and give me as many as you can. These are the top 10 classic rock songs played on radio in 2025. Go.
I don't know that we define classic rock the same, so I'm gonna
It's
say.
a classic rock I play, and it's
All right, so you're gonna have.
none of the stuff is 2000s or beyond. It's not none of
Yeah,
that
you're
stuff.
gonna
It's
have.
not Nickelback or any of that garbage.
Yeah, you're gonna have. Something from Appetite for Destruction. You're gonna have at least. You're gonna
You
have either Welcome to the Jungle or you're gonna have Sweet Child of Mine.
Welcome to the Jungle is number 2. Sweet Child of Mine is number 3.
There you go.
Very
Okay,
good.
you're gonna have. You're still gonna have Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Leonard Skinner would be number 10, Sweet Home Alabama. Very good. Only once on the top 10 list. Very good. You got 3 so far. Go.
Back in Black.
A lot of these. Back in Black is not actually on there. There's not an AC/DC song on the list, which was really surprising.
Wow.
But
Okay.
but I will tell you, these are songs that you would hear at a college football stadium on Saturdays.
So no Aerosmith?
No, Mary Smith. No.
Rolling Stones?
No Rolling Stones. You don't play Rolling Stones at UAB football games?
Well, I wasn't thinking of that. I'm just kind of surprised. No Van Halen?
No Van Halen.
You would hear them at a UAB football game.
Yeah, you probably, yeah. Goodness.
Boy, Tony.
Oh, there's one song that, I mean, everyone plays from Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, Crazy Train. Okay.
Crazy Train. Yeah, Crazy Train.
Okay, Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing is not on here, which what really surprised me.
Is there another Journey song on there, though?
There is not another Journey song on here. Queen. There's a Queen song on here.
Okay. Hold on. I got to think of the name of the song.
We Will Rock You.
Gotta be. Yeah, that's a great one.
We Will Rock You.
I Don't Want to Lose Your Love Tonight?
It's not on here. Boston, More Than a Feeling is number 9.
Wow.
Which I think is great. I hear that song everywhere. Wherever I go, I always hear that song, which is amazing.
What else you got?
White Snake, Here I Go Again is number 4. And that's, I mean, I hear that song. They did two versions of that song. They did the rock version from the album, and they came out with like a top 40 version. You can hear on Tragic 96. And then the last two songs are number 1 and number 5, and they're both from Bon Jovi. Do you want to take a stab?
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
You Give Love a Bad Name is number 5, and Living on a Prayer is the number 1 classic rock song we heard last year in a total amount of songs played.
You know what I'm surprised by is there's a lot that I'm surprised by. That Def Leppard isn't on there. And I wasn't a huge Def Leppard fan, but they have
Some Sugar on Me is probably right there, number 11. Yeah. You Shook Me All Night Long and Back in Black, AC/DC, or Thunderstruck would probably be in there. All right. Great stuff, my friend. Go to UABsports.com, UABsports.com for everything you need to know about UAB. Go down there and check out their bookstore. We were talking before the show. I'm going to go down there and get some stuff. Get some talls down there for the man, will you? I got long arms, man. Look at that.
Yeah.
Long arms. Get some talls for me and my boy, and we'll get down there and do some shopping. I appreciate you, man. Go Blazers.
All right, pal. Go Blazers.